Well, good morning. This morning, I want to continue with the series that we're on. It's called Think Again, and it's about our minds being conformed to the Word and not the world. So many times our mind is influenced by the things of culture and the way of our growing up and the way that we were raised. And I just want to get back to the simplicity of what does God say? And if I can conform my thoughts to Him, then it always works out better for me. I don't know about you. And so there are times where we just have to think again. Now today, I need you to take a deep breath before I tell you the subject matter. Everybody just take a deep breath. Okay? Take a deep breath. Take another one. You're going to need another one. Okay, let me tell you what we're talking about today. We're talking about living and dying. That's heavy stuff, right? Now, I realize that for many of us, we spend most of our life trying not to think about dying. You know, that we don't even want to bring it up. It's not polite conversation, you know. You just want to mess up a good party that your friends are throwing. Just let everybody get there and get everybody get their plates set and then say, you know what, I think we ought to talk about dying today. It's a real party killer. And I told the Lord that when I felt like this message was coming. I've been working on this message now for several weeks. I'm like, Lord, how in the world do you preach a message about dying And folks just not get out there and go, oh, this was a bad day to come. You know? This was a bad day to come. But I want to do it in such a way that I believe it actually is going to transform the rest of your life if you will just listen in, okay? And if you will just allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your life, I think it will change the rest of your life. We spend so much time in denial. I don't know about you, but everywhere I go, there's all these things that are supposed to make us look younger, right? And there are times where I look at my face and I go, I should try some of that stuff. I don't know which one to try, really, you know? But we try all these things to make us younger. I've heard about a person who asked the Lord to let him live forever. They just forgot to ask Him to keep them young forever. You ever thought about that? Everybody wants to live forever. But you ever thought about what's happening to your body? You know? And so a lot of times we face this thing of death and we face it with fear because we're not sure what's going to happen. I know that many of you have read Scripture. And I will tell you one of my great concerns as I preach funerals. And I'll hear people say, well, you know, so-and-so is going to be with the Lord and they're not hurting anymore and everything is well. And I'll hear people talk and much of it is accurate with Scripture. Although I can tell you, if you want to go and hear the Word of God destroyed, just go to a funeral. You just go to a funeral and you'll hear the Word of God destroyed because we'll preach some sinners into heaven and we'll do some crazy stuff, you know, at a funeral. But here's the question that I want to ask you. Do you really believe that there's a heaven? Do you really, I'm going to ask you that one more time. Do you really believe that there's a heaven? Do you believe it is as God says it will be? Okay. Because there's this thought that always runs in the back of my mind that we simply don't know what is on the other side. And what appears to be faith is more like fate. Does that make sense? That what we pass off as faith is actually fading, that we don't know what is on the other side. And the reason I say that is because when, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when we're sick, I think that's when we know most about our opinion of things. Because I think most people get concerned when they get sick because they're actually afraid to die. Now, I'd like to move you to a place today where, and I'm going to qualify this in just a moment, okay? But I'd love for us to move to this place where when it comes time to think about death, we'd be like, you know what? I'd just soon go. You know? That I have so much to look forward to on the other side that I'd just as soon go. Now, I said I wanted to qualify that, and I'll do it this way. If you haven't been here, we've been on this series, and I've been talking about when trials in life come, we ought to take joy in that. And the reason we ought to take joy for that is, as a writer says, his name is Robert Coleman, and he says, we're trying to help people to look down the road. When we say take joy in our trials, that's in Scripture. We want to have people to look down the road in faith that God is going to work all things for good for those that love Him. But there's a danger in that. And the danger is that in rejoicing in our trials, we begin to worship things of the devil. You're like, where's he going with that? You are not supposed to worship cancer. And that is not from God. Do you hear me? But so many times, we will have this weird kind of thing that God gave somebody, I love cancer. No, we don't worship cancer. We worship God. And if we leave this place, are we glad to be in eternity? Yes. But do you know what Jesus did while he was here? It says that he fought against the works of the devil. And you best know the difference. Because we worship God. We do not worship death and dying. For us, it is this moving into this other realm of life. Now, let me give you some scripture. Psalms 90. Turn there if you will. Young people, I want your attention right here. Y'all hadn't done anything wrong, okay, by the way. Whenever a pastor says to the young people, pay attention, they all feel like they were doing something wrong. You weren't doing anything wrong, okay? I want you to hear this verse. It's Psalms 90, verse 12. Young people, are you listening? Give me two claps and a Ric Flair. Psalms 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. You hear that, young people? Teach me to number my days so that I might present to you a heart of wisdom. There is something about numbering our days that helps us to rid ourselves of foolishness. Okay? And so teaching us to number our days. I remember, young people, when I was in the single digits, I thought I was never going to get to 10 years old and be double digits. I honestly remember that, young people. I remember thinking, I am never going to get to 10. You know, it's going to take forever. And then when I got to 10, I was thinking, I'll never become a teenager. I'll never get to that big 1-3 where I can say I'm 13. I'm a teenager now. And then there was just those other little moments in life, right? Any of y'all remember that, or are you so old you just can't even remember that far back? You can remember, right? Yeah. And it was, will I ever get to 16? Can I ever drive? Will I ever be old enough to vote? None of us should say, well, am I ever too old to get drunk? Okay, never that. Okay. Will I all those things, those things that I want to get to. And I remember when I went into ministry, I was 25 and everybody was older than me. And I'm like, Lord, if I could just get a little older so that people can respect me. And now I'm sitting here going, oh, dear Lord, I've gotten there. And I'm not wanting to get any older anymore. You know, I'm wanting to settle into this thing and enjoy my days. And you begin to think about certain things, right? Those of you who are older now. In this middle part of your life, you begin to wonder, am I accomplishing anything? At some point, you look back and you wonder, did I accomplish anything? And you start looking at life and you look at it from the perspective of our days are numbered. And I'm just wondering if this scripture wasn't put here for all of us, young and old, it's so that from the very beginning, we realize that we can do just about anything, but we can't do everything. Did you hear me? In your life, you can do just about anything, but you'll not be able to do everything. And so you're going to have to decide on what you want to do and what you don't want to do. And I believe when we number our days, it gives us some wisdom to say, I would like my life to matter. I think that unites most people in the world, is they'd like to find in some way that their life has mattered. And so I believe Scripture is telling us to begin with the end in mind. Any of you who are in business and you've read or listened to Stephen Covey, he says, begin with the end in mind. And so I've been thinking about finishing well. You know that thing that every believer wants to hear, that well done, good and faithful servant, well done. And I want to finish well. The story of Solomon is about a man who starts well, but you know the story of Solomon, right? It's that thing in Scripture that always gnaws at me, the life of Solomon. Because he starts great, but he doesn't finish well. And I love the fact that the Bible does not hide that from us, but it puts out all the stuff in Scripture for us to learn from it. And so I want to finish well. And I would like for you to be thinking about finishing well, because you cannot wait until you're on your deathbed to have that conversation with yourself. We need to number our days, and we need to think about how we're living life. And I'm going to let you enter into the life of Kevin for just a moment, okay? And then we're going to move on. But I've been preparing this for about 3 or 4 weeks. I've ordered some great writings from people who have talked about this thing of aging, and I've been contemplating this finishing well. And I think you ought to contemplate it. I think you ought to write yourself a little note. You ought to put it in your phone that when you leave here today, you're going to go away and you're going to get alone. It's Sunday afternoon. Maybe it'll be a good time. Super Bowl's over, all that kind of stuff, you know. And maybe you'll have some time just to say, what does finishing well look like to you? Here's what it looks like to me. I have a few things. One is, I want to finish with the girl that I got now. I want to finish up with her. Now, I realize that, you know, isn't that nice? I'm hoping I'm just going to love her into it, even if she doesn't agree. Now, I realize that we live in an age, and some of you have tasted of divorce and all those things, and that's not to put anyone down, because if you're currently married, I think that's what we would say, right? We want to finish up with this one. We want to learn from the things that we've done wrong. We want this one to last. Young people, I want you to pick somebody that whoever you start with, you finish with. I think it's the most beautiful thing when you watch people when they get old in life that you can't hardly think about them without thinking of the other person. I grew up in a church and there was Duck and Dumpy. That was real people, by the way. You know, there was Mag and June. You know, there was Edna and Mickey. And when you thought about those folks, you never thought about them separately. You thought about them together. And so I want to finish with the one that I got right now. And I got some desires for my son. I want him to mature. And I want him to be consumed by the love of God. Yeah. That when I leave this place, I will know that I'm leaving a son. I want to leave first, by the way. And I want to leave a son that I know some of you haven't. I want to leave with a son that loves God. And so it's important for me to be pouring into his life right now. You know, he's going to high school next year, y'all. Some of y'all had kids that have gone off to college in this last year, or it's coming up, and it goes so fast, doesn't it? Yeah. And so I want to treasure the time that I have, and I want you to as well. So we need to number our days, you know, to make sure we make the best of it with the ones that we love. I've got some visions for this church. I'd like to pass it on to you young people. I'm already trying to figure out if there's some one of y'all that I can pass it off to, you know. Who might it be that would carry this work? Some of our leaders, we're already talking about that very thing. Who is it that we can hand off this ministry to? Because I don't believe that God would have us to just start this thing and then it would just die and nothing would ever come to it. I serve a generational God, do you? I serve a God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I serve a God that things begin to progress as time goes on. I believe that's His desire. And so I want to hand this church off to capable people. And so I'm thinking about that. And then I'm thinking about this community. That house that we demolished, that we showed you pictures of, you realize that we're going to build another one. This group, Harvest Call, is going to build another one. And if the Lord decides to not come back in the very near future, you know what will happen? Something will destroy that one too. Do you realize that? So it ain't about building houses, is it? No, it's about, there's a lady that lives in that house. And hopefully we can help her draw closer to God. And hopefully we can demonstrate some love. And hopefully out of that, our community begins to see how government and nonprofit and churches can work together to literally change a community. That's one of the things that's on my heart when I think about finishing well, is I want to see that in Chester, South Carolina, that's where I live, I don't know where you live, but in Chester, South Carolina, I want to see that a community learns how to come together and how to do things that has kingdom value so that literally neighborhoods get changed and an entire community can be changed. And then maybe people will say, hey, come and show us what to do. And then we'll send people out of here to go and be an example to other people to do the same thing. I want to finish well. But if I'm going to finish well, I need to be thinking about it now so that I'm not living foolishly today. But I'm living in terms of what God wants me to do. And one last thing, I don't want to compromise the gospel. I don't want to compromise the gospel. There are a lot of ministers who start well and they don't finish well. And so if you ever want to pray for me, pray that Kevin finishes well. Because I want to finish well. I don't ever want to do anything to harm the gospel. And I bet you don't either. And so if we're gonna live that way, we need to think about that today so that we're living well. And so I want to give you some more. Oh, here's one last thing I need to tell you about that. And in terms of thinking about finishing well and numbering your days, here's one thing you need to be careful of, that you are not living by somebody else's measure of success. You need to hear that. I think you did. In terms of finishing well, you need to make sure that you're not living by someone else's measure of success. I'll tell you, one of the hardest things for me is everybody's got an opinion of how church is supposed to look, and I got a vision in my head of what I believe God says Ember's supposed to look like, and there's pressure for me to conform to the world's image. Every Monday, I feel the pressure. On Thursday, it starts mounting up, and I have to go to God and say, God, here's your church back. You know, because I got a picture in my mind of what God has told me that church is supposed to look like. But there's pressure that says it's supposed to look like something else. There's pressure in your life that you ought to look like your brother or your sister or somebody else in your family or somebody on TV or something. There's pressure of what success looks like. And I would tell you, you need to figure out what success looks like from God's point of view. I'll tell you what it is right now. I can tell you what success is. It's doing God's will for your life. That's success. When you get older and you realize you live for everybody else but you, oh my goodness. Hopefully that's why I'm talking to you today. It's because you do not want to be on your deathbed and say, I lived for everybody else, but I never figured out what God wanted for me. You want to get to the end of your days and say, I did what God wanted me to do. I'm even going, man, I feel like I'm getting off track, but at the same time, I feel like I'm following the Holy Spirit, so I'm just going to roll with that. Here's how, I'll even tell you how I want to die. I told you I wanted to finish well. I'll even tell you how I want to die. I want to be able to call my family in, and I want to be able to call my church family in, and I want them to gather around me, you included, every one of you, and I want to bless you. And I want to pray over you. I want to speak life into you. And then I want to tell you goodbye. And then I want to go and meet my Lord. That's how I want it to end. This stuff of cancer and all of that stuff, that's why I said a minute ago we shouldn't worship that kind of stuff. You know, I think we ought to fight against those things. Death in Scripture means this. It was about picking up tent stakes and moving to another place. That's what death like is in Scripture. If you want to know what it looks like, it is that today I pick up my stakes here and I head on over here where I really wanted to be to begin with. You see that? And so for the Christian, it is not that something took our life. It's that we willingly laid it down. You realize the model of the Savior is that nobody took His life. Don't you ever think that the Romans took His life or the Jews took His life? They didn't take His life. He came to die. He came to die for you. He willingly gave it to the ones that He loved. I want to call every one of you in. I want to bless you. And I want to pick up my stakes. I want to go to the place where my heart longs to be. Now, Matthew chapter 6. There's some mistakes that we might make, and I want us to avoid them. I don't know if this sounds dreary or macabre to you. It sounds pretty exciting to me. I don't know how y'all doing. You okay? All right, let me take you to Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. And it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Now, I'm going to give you that a little bit of description in just a moment, but I want to tell you a story about a man who passed away, and he had great fortune. Lots of things, lots of assets, lots of property. Passed away, and his two friends came up at the viewing, and they're kind of looking over at their friend in the casket, and one of them looks at the other one, and he says, "How much you think he left?" That's always the question, right? You know, I wonder, how much money did he have? You know, how much property did he have? And wonder who he's giving it to. You know, just thinking about his stuff. The other friend was looking into the casket, and he looked at his friend, and the question was, I wonder how much he left. He looks at his friend, and he says, "I think he left everything. Absolutely everything." Do you see what I'm talking about? That's what Matthew 6 is talking about. What are you leaving, and where are you leaving it? You see, some of us, everything that we're working for, it's stored up on this side. And I can assure you, and you've heard the story, it ain't going. So that new house we're building for this lady, she can't take it. Neither can us. Neither can we. Yeah. Our vehicles, we can't take them. Our jobs, you can't take them. And so when we look over at our caskets, we have to ask ourselves, wonder how much he left. And if it's any of those things, we'll have to answer rightly and say, he's leaving it all. She's leaving it all. Everything she worked for on this side, and it's staying right here. And Scripture is telling you, don't store up stuff on this side, store up stuff on the other side. Now, is that something against wealth? No, it's not. I'll tell you this, I've had a lot of conversations with people who are wealthy and people who have basically no means. And I can tell you what I found is that the people that have nothing talk about money more than the people that have it. Now, we like to think and we like to tell ourselves that rich people are always thinking about money, but it's not true. Some of them are, but actually some of us who don't have anything, we think about it all the time. It's consuming us. This stuff on this side, it's absolutely consuming us. Yeah, that's all we think about. Yeah? How much we don't have and how much we want. Consumed by the stuff on this side. I will tell you that I want you to be as rich as you can steward, honestly. You know what? Because I can tell you what, we couldn't have built that house or we couldn't have demoed that house if we didn't have $3,500 to do it. Right? Yeah. And so for some of you, you're made for that. Man, you can make money easily. And I would say, I hope you make a bunch. But I hope you invested in the kingdom. So that when we say, how much did he leave behind? You say, well, I don't know what he left behind, but I know what he's taking with him. And it's quite a reward because he spent his whole life serving God. He spent his whole life investing in people. And so I think he's got a handsome reward. I think she's got a handsome reward up there. So it's not about money. And so it says this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. I want to ask you, what is your treasure? Right now, what's your treasure? It's the thing that you think about the most. It's the thing that you're working the hardest for. It's the thing that whenever you got a spare moment, that's occupying your time. And whatever that is, that's where your heart is. And if you want to know, just start talking. Did you hear that? If you want to know where your heart is, just start talking. And as you start talking, Scripture says, out of your heart, your mouth speaks. And so you just start talking and you'll know if it's our business, if it's family, if it's things, whatever it is, where's your treasure? And then it tells us to store up our treasure in heaven. And so I asked Brantley this week, I said, what is treasure in heaven? You ever thought about that? What is treasure in heaven? And how do you store it up there? Because I don't know about you, but a lot of the things that we've talked about, and a lot of the things that we get up every day and do, it's not going, is it? It's not going up there. So if it's a store up treasure in heaven, then what is going up there? And I will tell you this. There are those who do not believe in God. And they say that Christians are foolish because heaven is this place of this fanciful land that we go to because we're scared to die. I said, that's not why Kevin wants to go to heaven. And there are some people that will say that Christians, we threaten people with hell because we want them to act right here on the earth. Any of you who are part of Ember, do I ever try to scare you out of hell and into heaven? No, I think it's a bad strategy because I can't keep you afraid long enough. I'd have to live with you all the time to keep you afraid. And I just don't want to live with you that long. You don't want to live with me that long. Yeah? So I found a better strategy. And here is that treasure. That treasure is the Lord God Himself. He is my treasure. He is my portion. And He's already there. See, He's already stored up there waiting for me. And so if you were to ask me, Kevin, why do you want to go to heaven? I really don't care about streets of gold. Apparently, I've told you before, they pay streets with it. It's not valuable up there. What is valuable up there? My Savior. And I would say that if He is not your treasure, and if He is not your reward, I don't think you're ready. I think you got to get ready. And so when you say, what are my treasures? Those treasures that are in heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ and my relationship with Him and my relationship with people here on earth. You see, because those good things that I do, they get stored up in heaven. Scripture says if you give a cup of cold water in His name, that your reward will be great in heaven. You see, we can do some things, but they're all relational. Oh, that's kind of a shock for all of us now who we try to do everything apart from humanity, right? Now, come on. If the machine is broken and you got to go inside and pay for gas, you mad as fire because you got to talk to a human. You know, you'd buy groceries and everything. That's why Amazon is doing swimmingly right now. You know, it's because everybody's sitting there thinking, if I could just get away from people, life would be great. You know? If I could just not have to deal with the public, everything would be great. I will tell you this, those things that you do with the public, that's actually where you build your treasure. And so the more you want to not be around people, you know, you get to heaven, you're like, Lord, what have I got? Oh, nothing. Nothing. Because I didn't understand how to build treasure. Which brings us to what I hope becomes this life verse for you. Turn to Philippians 1. I hope this becomes a life verse. Philippians 1 verse 21 says this. It's such a small verse. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. You see that? To live as Christ and to die as gain. That's the life verse of the person who is counting their days. Let me explain that to you. Paul was writing to the Philippians and he's in jail, by the way, which is amazing when he talks so much about joy and rejoicing and he's in jail. But he says this, to live as Christ, to die as gain. There is such a small distance between that sentence. To live as Christ, to die as gain. There is such a short time here on earth between living and dying. It goes by so fast. And so I want to start with the end in mind. To die is gain. That our treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so there's this great conflict that's going on in Paul. He's trying to decide if he wants to stay here or if he wants to pick up his tent stakes and go. And he's confused. There ought to be more Christians who are confused and have to ponder that than there are. You know, there ought to be more Christians who are sitting there trying to figure, I can't figure it out. I woke up today and I honestly have got to think about it. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Do I want to stay or do I want to go? Now, Paul's not running from something. You hear me? He's not running from something. He's not getting ready to commit suicide. He's not running from anything. Nah, see, he's running to something. That was better than you just realized. He's not running from something. He's running to something. He's not leaving his treasure. He's going toward his treasure. And he's confused. And he says, honestly, I don't know what to decide. If I die, I go to be with the one that I love. And that sounds exciting. But he says, but if I stay here, there are people who could benefit from my staying. And so the Christian has to live in that little bit of conflict right there of, you know what, I'd just as soon go to be with the one that I love. But I'll stay here if it means that I can help someone else to know about Christ. If I can invest in the kingdom here on earth. And if you get that, then you have this incredible connection with eternity. Because to live is Christ, this thing of seeing Him face to face. And yet Moses, they describe Moses, this is before the Holy Spirit, and they said he spoke to God as a friend speaks to a friend. Do you see that? If what you want is God, and if what you want is to see Him face to face, then the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and you actually don't have to wait. You can experience that portion of heaven right here on earth. That you can talk to Him face to face. That you can have a conversation with Him. So that when we leave this place and go to heaven, it's not such a culture shock to you, okay? All right? I believe that there's some Christians that they're going to walk into heaven, it's going to be a culture shock to them. You know? Everything's different than how they lived here on earth. I want you to be so heavenly minded that when you get there, you say, I've been living in this here on earth. That's why that prayer, on earth as it is in heaven, that's what that means. Is that because I've connected to eternity, now I know how to bring eternity down here to change this. Is that making any sense to anybody? Oh, that gets me so excited. And that helps me to know what is to happen at the end of my days. And so for me and for you, could we live with that verse? While I'm here, I can summarize everything about my life in this one verse, Christ. That's what we ought to be able to say. Now, that doesn't stop us from doing anything. You can still go to work tomorrow, okay? All right, I didn't tell anybody you couldn't go to work. In fact, you should, all right? But you know how you go? With Christ as Lord of your life. That's how you go to work tomorrow, looking for Christ in everything you do. You're still going to be involved in your family, still doing all the stuff that your kids do. You're still going to be a taxi driver, okay? But you're going to do it with Christ at the forefront of everything you do. You're going to approach your finances through Christ. And then when it comes time to think about death, we would say this, I will leave nothing, but I will go to everything that I have wanted inside. Now, here's what I want us to do. If you are a senior, and I don't know how to qualify that, because you can get in a lot of trouble like that, can't you? Yeah. So I've contemplated this, and I believe I have an answer, okay? If you request a senior coffee, I want you to stand up. I got you. I got you. If you request a senior coffee, I want you to stand up. Or if you consider yourself a senior. If you consider yourself a senior, I want you to... We got people standing up and sitting down and they can't figure out. You're going to want it, okay? Because here's what we're going to do. We're actually going to pray for you because here is something that we're going to see God do. If nowhere else, we're going to see it here. Is that we're going to honor those who have age on them. How can I say that? Those who have lived, who have maturity. That's right, yeah. Do you realize that in Scripture, that silver hair is your honor? That age is your honor. But here's what's happened in this culture, and we're going to do something about it, is that we feel like there's something wrong with getting old, and we'll do everything we can not to do it, you know? And so I want us to be at a place where we learn to honor the people who have age behind them. We honor our seniors. And so for you guys and the ones of you that couldn't figure out if you wanted to stand up or not, okay, I'm going to speak to you anyway, okay? I want us to honor you. And I want to figure out a way that we honor you until you take your last breath. Because here's what happens sometimes. After a while, you begin to not be able to do as many things as you used to do. Some of you would say amen, right? You know, you can't do quite as many things as you used to do. And you could get it in your mind that you're not valuable because you can't do what you used to do. Do you know that's a lie? Do you know that you are valuable? Because you are in our lives. Because you are our mothers and our fathers and our grandfathers and our grandmothers. And you are those solid oaks and branches of this church. And so we honor you for who you are, not what you do. Because there may become a day where you can't do as much as you used to. And I will say that does not diminish our love for you one ounce. And so we honor you. And you guys are amazing because I look at you guys and you're pressing in. You haven't quit. You want more of God. And so we honor that in your life. And young people, I want you to look at some of these folks that are standing. All right? They hadn't given up. Miss Joyce got more fire in her now. I don't think she's ever going to die. Because she's just so full of life. You know, many of you, same kind of way. Here's what I want you to do. Any of our young people that are in Ignite that feel like you could just walk up to one of these folks and just lay your hands on them, I'm not going to ask you to pray out loud or anything. I want you to do that. Y'all stand up and do that right now. Boys in the back, y'all don't have a choice. I know y'all can. Come on, let's do it. And I want some of our other folks, I want you to gather around some of our seniors that are here. Now, many of you should have already stood up and you didn't, so I'm going to give you a chance. Come on, stand up. Because you need the prayer. And you need the blessing over your life. See, now they all standing. All right. Now I want the church, I want y'all to move around to these folks that are standing. And I want you to lay your hands on them. Because what we're doing is we're creating something that's generational. They did. There's a lady right down here. Raise your hand. Somebody, there you go, Kim. Kim knows. There you go. All right. Now here's what I want you to do. I want anybody who's willing, I want you to just begin to just speak blessings over that person. I just want you to thank God for the person that they are and the person that they're becoming. All right, just thank God for what He's doing in their life. Just start right now. Yeah. Yeah, does anybody else? Feel free to pray out loud. Feel free. Yeah. Now I got one last thing I want us to do before we leave. Miss Joyce, I'd like for you to come up here. And Chris, I'd like for you to come. I'm going to get one man and one woman. And I want you to pray over this church family. All right? With the perspective of the wisdom. That's why I called you up here. Because I know that you are both godly people with wisdom. And I want you to just pray and just bless this family this morning.
Thank you, Father God, for just drawing each one of us to yourself. Thank you that we are alive in Christ Jesus, that you come to abide in us and live within us and guide us and direct us with your precious Holy Spirit. We just thank you for drawing us together as a unity and a body of Christ in this place. We just ask that you just live big within us every day, that we might glorify you in all that we are and all that you do.
Father, I just start by thanking you that I'm able to stand up here today because I meet that qualification. And it's all through you, Jesus. I just pray over everybody that wisdom comes on each of you, be it young, be it old, that the wisdom of following in Jesus' way just overwhelms you. and that as you do things, you do them the right way because the Lord's given you the path. We make wrong turns, but always He puts us back on the highway. I've certainly been there. And I just ask, Father, that as each of us grow older, that the path becomes straighter and it's always the highway and not the sidetracks. I just ask, Father, that You place wisdom and joy on all of us. I do that in Your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You know, there's such a... Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want to say? Go ahead.
Did you know that the Bible in Genesis 6:5 says that God has promised us 120 years? If you want it, you can have it. No. Jesus has already defeated Satan. He's already given us everything that we need. Everything. According to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. It's a finished work. Jesus said it was finished. Let's just glorify Him in all that we are and all that we do.
Yeah. So here's what I want. Young people and our older folks alike. You know, our culture tells us that there's this great divisiveness between young generations and older generations. You know, almost like it pits us against each other. And I think that's so wisdom doesn't develop in a culture. I honestly think it's of the devil. And so, young people, I want to challenge you that when you see someone that has a little older look to them, I want you to go up to them and I want you to introduce yourself to them. Because I want our young people and our old people to know each other by name. Okay? And so I want you to work on that. And older folks alike, I want you to do the same thing. There are young folks, and life is hard. It's a little different than when you grew up, okay? The world has thrown a lot of different things at them. And I want you to take time, and I want you to call them by name. Say, what's your name? And I want you to bless them, and I want you to listen to them because they need you in their life. Our young people need our older folks, and our older folks need our younger folks because this Bible that we believe in is a generational faith that is Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And we're going to do it by the grace of God. Yes. So, we're going to end with just say hello to somebody on your way out. Speak to somebody and love on them. God bless you. To live is Christ this week, and to die is gain. God bless you. If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.